Welcome, friends, to the Soul Talk podcast, a show where we explore and uncover the path to the heart, amplifying your conscience. Join me as we meet incredible souls who are in this journey and learn from their experience and different methods that will make you vibrate your heart. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. This is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and you're in Soul Talk. Thank you for being here. And I wanted to present you with one of my dearest friends that we just have I was so lucky to meet her in person in Sedona. Her name is Carol Johnson. And Carol, thank you so much for accepting my invitation. And it is really an honor to be here with you in Soul Talk.
Oh, the honor is all mine, Monica, all mine.
And this is always a passion me, not because I am a good with numbers or in that area or even organized, because as an artist, I am terrible in the organization part. But something that brought my attention was that you're a business wizard. That's your one of your titles, right?
Yes.
But it is so important in our community as coaches and healers and et cetera, that we wanted to do a living to pay our bills with what we do, what our really passion us. But it is at the same time so hard because we have to charge, we have to be organized, we have to be administrative, we are entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And we have a business, but at the same time, it is very hard to actually get in touch with the two sides of our brain, let's put it like that. And you know you're one of the few people that I know that can balance the two sides of your brain in the just more magical way. So I totally honor that, that you're a business wizard. But tell us a little bit more about what that means, business wizard.
So for me, business wizard, well, I help bring the magic back. Sometimes we get caught up in the mundane, or we don't know, our field of genius might be over, like you say, in the artistic or the creative side, and we forget about what's required so that we can thrive in business. So I think bringing the magic back into even those areas that might be a little bit more, I call it mundane. For you, when we see the brilliance and the colors and the artistry, I see that in numbers. So I help the heart-centered entrepreneur to reignite those dreams that were inside of them, because sometimes the day-to-day can get us down. And I help them to have more time and money by weaving some strategies and some structures that I've learned along the way, through some coaching or, you know, just helping by, right? And coaching, or I have tools in place that help an entrepreneur in the pursuit of that dream so that they can stay in their field of genius. Does that make sense?
Yes, completely, because it is, I have, all when we started, even as an artist, before even I was a coach or a healer, it was the same issue that many of the coaches and healers right now they're having. It is about putting a price to our work.
Yeah.
And making a living from a business that's what it is. Let's call it what it is. Yes, we're at the service of others, but at the same time, we're creating a business to live comfortable, and we don't have to worry about how we're going to pay the light.
Yeah.
How we're going to feed our children or whatever it is, or having a home, or else we will have to be so worried about to paying the bills and all that we cannot be a service to others. We will have to get a job somewhere.
That's right.
And being an entrepreneur, you have a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Because that's what we are. And that's why you're so important to our community.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I find people have, especially heart-centered entrepreneurs, tend to have a little bit of a resistance toward valuing their time and toward appreciating that money is an exchange. It's an energetic exchange. And as much as I would love to live on love, I need money to pay the bills.
Yes.
And so we need to look at that and look at in from a perspective of honesty and integrity, what feels right for us, and then valuing. So I've had a, you know, circumstances, and now not necessarily in the spiritual realm, but when I was first starting out as an accountant, and I'm like, oh, you know, my mentor, although in the business side, he said, I would say to him, oh, I can't charge that. Look at how many years of experience you have. I can't charge that. Look at this. I can't charge that. I'm not, I don't, I have, right? I'm not, right? So the confidence was low. It was all of those reasons why I couldn't. And he looked at me and he said to me, he says, well, if you don't, then you devalue the rest of us. If you don't, quote unquote, charge what you're worth, then you devalue the rest of us. And who am I to do that to them? So we have a responsibility as well.
I totally agree with what you just said. And then that's when there comes the envy and the competition from any of the circles. I saw it in artists. I see it also in the spiritual community. Of course, you see it with professionals like bookkeepers, lawyers, etc. But that's where the competition comes from. Why is she charging more? Why am I charging less? When in reality, it doesn't have to do anything with that. It's what is the price that you're putting to your time and your value.
Right, exactly. So so for some things, it might be okay, like to have like a sacred scale or an, right, or something that way. But for the most part, you know what your experience is, and you know what your market will tolerate just by, you know, saying, oh, if I charge this, am I getting clients? If I charge that, I might be getting a little bit more clients. What's the caliber of client that I'm looking for? You know, do we want the only the ones that can only pay a little? No, we want the ones that can pay what we're worth, right? So that we have the capacity then to give to others, or our philanthropic nature, right? So
yes.
Yeah,
I find that it is also at the same time it is hard to put prices.
Yeah,
and that's always been my issue, even with paintings, even with my healings and so forth, because it's just okay, yes, I want to attract the paying clients that they can afford a huge ticket. But at the same time, what happens if I want to give the service to one or two, or I want to give the service to 100? So if I want to give just an example, if I wanted to give a service to 100, I cannot charge, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000, or 50,000 for a class, because who's going to pay for that?
Well, here's the thing, who wouldn't pay for that? So we have to look at what is it that you're providing and how is it being provided? And then we can determine, you know, if that's a safe value or not. And it's not about volume. I would venture to say it would be fabulous if you could provide a $10,000 program to 100 people, right? Like, why not? Right? What is stopping us? Nothing. Nothing. We are stopping us. So, you know, let's the perspective, and if you want to look at it strictly from where my education comes from, so in the accounting and operations or CFO type roles, is strictly, let's look at what we have. Let's look at our time. There's much more than just the pen, for example, that we're selling, or much more than just a book that you're, you know, it's not, I don't have a book right in front of me, but it's not just the paper book that you're going to buy off the shelf. It's all of the heart and soul and research and time and love that was poured into it that is also being valued. So we have formulas that we can help to identify and create what we call is a bottom line or a fair market value or something like that. Okay. So there are in the 3D world, there are some steps that we can take to place value and help clients to get to that point where they can value their time, right? Value the product. So that's one piece. And then we have the class. And as the class goes on, let's say you're doing a program. And as the program goes on, right, how much time, how much effort is going to be put into that? I know that there's a whole bunch of platforms out there now that we can create content and put it online, but there's still a cost that needs to be considered, even if it's created and then used over and over. There's always going to be updates, upgrades, you know, changes, updates, like getting more current with the times, or maybe something in your life has changed, so you're going to add in a different story. There's always going to be something. So we have to be able to, I don't like this word, but I'm going to use this word. We need to be able to realistically bring that information in so that you are valuing you.
Yeah. And that's what I believe, that that's where human beings struggle, in valuing ourselves and believing in ourselves, that we are worthy, that we deserve to charge for our service, our time. You bake a cake to someone, it's fine. You want to give it away one time, but you want to make it as a business, giving away cakes. No, you're going to buy the products to make the cakes.
Yeah.
And that's, forget about your time that you're investing in creating the cake. So that is, I believe, that is the problem with the majority of the human beings. And in our industry, it is not because everybody's working, believing in themselves, that means that they already do.
Well, there's some limiting beliefs out there that we shouldn't, as light workers, as healers, as whatever our divine path might be, that we shouldn't be charging, that it's evil. But that's not the case. That is not the case. Money is just an energetic exchange. It's no more than the hammer in the toolbox. It is a tool to get us from A to B. And if my exchange, you know, if that's what it is, then I think it's a blessing. It's like the, right? We've been conditioned and trained to think that money is evil. You know, or hey, money doesn't grow on trees, right? No, it doesn't. Like, I know in Canada it's now printed on plastic, but but that's not the point. It's the energy exchange between two. When I take a bite of food, I'm nourishing. When I pay you for a service, I'm nourishing. What's the right? It's still just that exchange.
I believe in the old times, it used to be by donation to the healers.
Mm.
And that's one of the issues that I have, why you don't teach my classes in Spanish, in fact. Because when I have tried to teach my classes in Spanish, apparently Latin America and South America, they have that costume that is the healer, you just pay them a donation. And a donation, I understand it can go from $1 to way more, to whatever the person is willing to give or think that the value of the healer is.
Yeah.
And someone is giving the value to the healer, not the healer to themselves. So, and that is a big issue because it's like, okay, do I teach in my native language or do I put a price and they're not have the mentality to pay the price, not a donation. That is very different.
So I, when we're looking at ideological beliefs, which I believe that is, right? So let's go back a few centuries and what happened, right? So there's a belief that the healers like that were evil. I mean, we were burned at the stake, right? Like, think about how far we've come. So do we want to hang on to those old limiting beliefs? Or do we want to elevate, enhance, and spread our light through the world? I prefer the second, where, like when I first started really getting into light working, like being a light worker, I was practicing Reiki, and I was told when I took my level one Reiki, it's not right to charge for it. Well, I'm a massage therapist, let's say, right? And it's okay for me to charge for that, but the practice is essentially the same. One's more on a spiritual or the energy body. The other one works on the physical body. They have the same. What's the difference? There is no difference. There is no difference. There's no difference in me telling, helping you organize yourself so that you have the capacity to do what's in your level of genius. In other words, I can do your bookkeeping so that you're free to go write your book, right? What's the difference? It's all still healing in some form or another or perspective. So I'm going to, I believe, or I've had to shift that limiting belief so that, no, I have what I offer has a value. When I'm in the capacity to donate my time or to give of my time freely, I do. Right?
Yes.
But for every day, and there are even times where I have what I call is that sacred scale, but I don't say donation. It's, I have a sacred scale and it starts at this rate and it can go to that rate. And that's the range that they have that they can utilize, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, they're not my ideal. They're not meant for me. I'm not meant for them, right?
That is so, so true. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do also with, again, we go back to the value of the people.
Mm-hmm.
We all pass through that. I do. I have passed through that. In fact, in Sedona, when we were over there, I discovered that it's like, oh my God, I am afraid of money. I am afraid of earning money.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I have to work with this issue because or else it doesn't matter if I work 16 or 18 hours a day, money's not going to come in.
Yeah.
Because of energetically, I am afraid of money. So just being honest with yourself as a coach or a healer or whatever you are, as a practitioner of energy, whatever it is, how you're going to attract to having a trip like to Sedona, how you're going to attract to go and pay your light bill or food. If you're having that issue, you're still afraid. So do you work with people also in their limiting beliefs about money, or is only the administrative part?
No, I think that it is all inclusive. So in order to have a good relationship with our money, we need to be able to understand, yes, and read our financial statements and understand what we're looking at. But if we have limiting beliefs, we're not going to get very far at all, right? So we do have to have that exchange or that release of those limiting beliefs. So I personally have gravitated toward the Akashic Records. So I like to use that with my clients. One of the pivotal points for me in my growth, in my experience, was understanding that my business has a soul and that it can be read. So my business can tell me what it needs. And we can look at that in synchronicities as well. So you say you have a fear of money, but it's probably something a little deeper than that. And it's not necessarily the money that you have a fear of. Maybe it's a fear of success, or maybe it's a fear of a past life that you had a trauma.
Or it can come from an old program about women earning money. I believe that's a typical one for many women. That I remember my dad says, oh, never give a woman all the money, or women do not know how to administer money, or things like that. And that's why it was like, oh, I'm a, or my dad used to say to me, it's like, it lasts you more a rocket in your hand than $100 in your hand. And it was like those little details. It becomes a program if you repeat it and repeat it and you accept the repetition. It can start as a joke. That's something very funny, but it becomes a deep ingrained program. And many women have that thing.
Well, we've been suppressed as women for so long. Even though we feel that we have our voices today, there's lots of different cultures and areas where women have no voice. So I feel like coming from Canada, I'm quite privileged that way, but we're still suppressed, we're still imbalanced. But that doesn't, what I had to work through on that was I didn't, I had to, that doesn't apply to me. I don't participate in that. And it took some therapy and some work and a lot of healing within the modalities that I've been exposed to, right? But also through an understanding of I'm worthy and believing that I am worthy. So I was kind of I had the benefit. My parents didn't say a lot of things that would diminish or make me feel that I wasn't able to. But what I saw in them was the struggle, the struggle, the struggle. Money was hard. It was hard to get. It didn't flow. You had to work, like work, 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 get a little, work, 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 get a little, right? So even though they encouraged us to go out and be free, right, and pursue our dreams, they taught us how to struggle to get there. And I don't believe it should be a struggle for men or for women, but society has popped us down quite a bit and silenced us in ways that I don't think serves anymore, if that makes sense.
No, it do make sense because it is layers of programming by different generations from the past that money was hard to get. Money, like you mentioned earlier, that do not grow in trees and things like that, that's where it comes a lot of the programming and that's where a lot of the scaredness come to money. And if we see worldwide, the majority of the world are scared of money.
Mm-hmm.
And because of these programs, because we saw people suffering, because we saw homeless people, because we saw people that they didn't have a roof, or many, many details like that. So we are afraid to become homeless or whatever it is. And I understand as an NLP programmer, a linguistic programmer, that when we remove the layers of program that we have accepted since we were a little kid, we can become free.
Right.
Hi, everyone. This is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. And if you have been feeling stuck where you are right now, or if you have felt that you cannot connect with others in the same language or the same emotions that you're feeling, if you're a coach, a healer, energy worker, in any of those branches, maybe this is for you. Because we have felt the disconnection for the rest of our family, friends, that we cannot connect to them. And we're so afraid to actually go deep dive when we're getting triggered by our own clients, because we're seeing our mirror image with them. My name is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and that's my spiritual name. And I take clients from feeling confused and feeling stuck to feeling free, to feeling that they feel empowered from themselves. I created a system, Path to the Heart, that goes in three levels. And the first level, it is healing the inner child, healing the parts of us that we've been so afraid, or it's very painful to do it. I have done it myself, not only with me, and I have done it with many, many of my clients, that I take them to this process. The second level, it is to go more into inner self, clearing the family lineage, to breaking the contracts and vows, learning deeper, more about the laws of the universe. And the third level, it is learning how to channel, how to do waking up your and getting online your gifts, unique gifts that the world so much needs right now. So if you wanted to know more about this, I am eager to show you and to teach you all what I know that I use every day in my life. So thank you for being here in this page. I really appreciate it. And this is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. And that's why your job is very, very important, because you work also in different levels, how to administrate it. Now that we have it, okay, now how we're going to administrate it, so it just don't fly like the rock, like my dad used to say. Because that is a program. That is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to look at structure as a swear word. Not a word that, you know, I liked to be able to, I thought that if we were structured, then we were in a box and we were not free to move. But there is a sense of structure that we need when we're looking at the administrative side, and we need to understand. And there might be rules and regulations, you know, because we do live in the 3D world. But what I like, and what gives me the, not only the, like, I mean, yes, I get reward when I get paid, okay? But what also you see, the gifts that we get are seeing when we integrate those threads, when we integrate the connections between the administrative and the vision. Right? When we see it come in and we start to see someone really develop in and accept and lose those fears of money or success, right? And we see the right the climb, the achievements, the rewards, and that's the gift. That's the gift that we get. And so if you're healing someone, when you see them have that aha moment and break through that ceiling and get through that fear or whatever it is that might be holding them back. Well, we see the same thing. Like if I mean, people used to look at me like I was crazy because I would say, oh, I would love to pay, you know, $30,000, $40,000 in income tax. I would love to do that. Why? Because I have to earn.
Yes.
I will have earned it to pay it, right? Yeah. It's not to me about, you know, save, 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 save. No, we need to get to the point where we're not thinking about it or worried about it. We need to build the foundation so that we can get there. So that when you are there, it's sustained and it can grow and just elevate and be enhancing your life. That's
so true, what you just said.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like if we are paying that much of taxes, that means that we're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
At the time. So, yes, we never see, we always see the negative side of things, instead of focusing on the positive side of things.
Yeah.
And this is what you call the weaver of the dream.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I consider weaving a dream. First, the seeds are planted within us. And then we start to find the threads and the connections between. And I always say, like, I'm my big hairy audacious goal, it might be, you know, to be global, have, you know, this division fully functional, like, you know, oh, it might be, you know, seven figures, let's say, and, you know, programs and throughout the world in 10 different languages. Okay. But I have to start from the dream. And that dream and those threads are going to take us. So I weave. I have a loom. I weave. And every time I throw the shuttle across, it combines, it takes that thread and it weaves it through. So that in the end, I have that finished tapestry, that goal is achieved. But it takes each throw, each shuck of the thread, the shuttle. It takes each pass, each moment. And so let's say we're doing this, right? It should not be a struggle. It should not feel resisted. It should not feel like work. It should feel freeing. It should feel joyful. So we check in. We check in with the spirit. We check in with each stroke. We check in and we make sure that we're attuned, in line, aligned. And then along the way, give yourself a reward, because we're human. We are human. And, you know, it's nice to have that appreciation and that sense of gratification or reward.
How do you, can you give us some tips in how people can start putting practice before, even before they look, even look for you? Because they might be too afraid how they're going to pay you. So they can get out of that scared mentality, how you're going to afford a coach or a healer or something like that.
I would start small. I think I would start small. Number one, define your dream. Put it down, get it on paper, understand it. Let's define it. And then from there, it doesn't have to be big, big. It could be, well, I'm going to read that book. I'm going to I'm going to have my first live, I'm going to offer readings for the first time. I'm going to have my first Reiki session. I'm going to paint my first picture. So, if that's the little goal, right, as I call them, the small wins will get us there. So, how do you do that? Well, first, let's say it is painting a picture. You're an artist, so you know, right? So, you put your easel up. You might sketch out on your canvas what you're going to draw. You might sketch it out and, you know, get a feel for what it is. And then you apply the first stroke. And then it transforms. In business, right? In business, you have your dream, so your vision, right? And the first thing that we have to do is write it down. And then we can say, okay, from here, I can plan. I can go A, B, C, D. I can have three goals. So if my goal is to have a seven-figure annual revenue, well, first I got to make the first $10 or the first dollar. How am I going to do that? So we mark out a plan, and it doesn't have to be big. So I actually have a tool that I use, and I don't know if you share things in your podcast, but
Yes, we can do that. Let me give you to share.
I have, just give me a second here. I'll have to pull it up. So let's chit chat for a second while I get that. And because what I have is what I call a dream scan. And what it did for me was it helped me to identify what my dream was and then how to break it down so that I could put it into little bite-sized pieces so that I could move forward, so I could confidently confidently pursue instead of giving up, right? I don't know if that makes sense or not. Let me see if I
Yes.
can find it.
Many people in the road give up, or they continue and continue for ages and with no results because they don't feel that they can achieve that.
Exactly.
Or they start sabotaging themselves. That's another one.
Yeah. So I use what I call a dream scan. And it's just one page. And I have one for businesses, and I have one for and then I have what I call a compendium or a companion to this one. So this is my dream scan. And it's just a little questionnaire. And it's first, what is your dream? What is the purpose of your dream? Is it that you want to lose weight? Is it that you want to start a business? It doesn't have to always be about business. Then think about when you'd like to start it. When do we want to start? Maybe we're not ready to start today. Maybe we're ready to start in a month. That's okay. Write it down. And how much time can you commit to it? Really? How much time are you willing to put in to achieve it? And okay, if we're not going to start for a month, what would you consider being that pivotal point that would have you start that journey? What is it going to be? Say I want to lose 10 pounds. Maybe it'll be the first day at the gym. Okay. How would you recognize halfway through that dream, that goal, that vision? And then what would you do? What would you feel when it's complete? Maybe it's to lose 10 pounds. So after 10 pounds, I'm done. Okay, that's good. How are you going to reward yourself along the way? Write it down. It doesn't matter if you hit the date or not. Okay. writing it down and putting it down for yourself. That's what's important. Goals are set in stand. They're set in sand. They can shift, they can move, they can flow. Something might happen and you might have to delay. Something might happen and you might get there sooner. Allow the flow. And it doesn't matter how small or how large the victory is. Make sure you reward yourself. It might just be a nice, beautiful bubble bath with roses and yum, yum, right? Just a night to relax. It could be something like jewelry. It is all up to you what it's going to be. But remember that ultimately, the dream itself and the achievement is what the reward is.
That's right? So true. It is basically what the law of attraction, in a way, mentioned. It's like, do not ask for the $1 million in the bank. It's how the $1 million feels if you already have it.
Right. Right? Be it. Own it.
Yes.
Right? And we don't have to fear money. It's just a tool. It's just an exchange of energy. It's like giving someone a big warm hug. Right? Yeah.
And at the same time, to our viewers that go with coaches and healers and so forth, to understand, and when they're receiving a service from any of us, they have to be an exchange of energy.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Because that's also, it's in the two sides, from the coach or healer or light worker, whatever it is, to receive it and the other one to give it. No one has obligation to do one or the other.
Right. Right.
And I believe that is very important to everybody understand that, because or else that's where it gets confused.
Yeah.
The obligation with something that you wanted to do because it's in your heart to do. And this reminds me of something that about to exist a narcissist is always have to be an enabler. Or else narcissists would not exist. The enabler is the one that have to feed the narcissist in their ego.
Right?
Yes.
Right? So I'm not sure if I tied, like we talked about the dream weaving, and that's how I do that component. If you want to tie it into the other side, if you're going to look at the administrative side on your own, mm-hmm. and not at some point in time, I would say it would be either read a good book, okay, which accounting and information technology books are the ones that will put you to sleep. They will cure insomnia. I will guarantee it.
Yes.
But they're necessary if we're going to, I think our school systems and whatnot kind of falter in that, is that we don't teach our youth how to manage their money effectively, or how to read a financial statement and what does it mean. But so for that, it's a little deeper than what I would probably go into. But if you can balance a checkbook, that's a good start, right? Always, if you're in business for yourself, have a separate bank account for tracking. Always. That's another, you know, if you're going to do things and get yourself set up, there's a few things that we do first. And you don't have to be a big corporation and or spend that kind of money. You don't have to get lawyers or do that. Make sure that A, you've looked into your region or your municipality, that you've got a proper licensing in place if required, that you have a separate bank account so that you can track, that you pay yourself fairly, right? So that's the transfer of funds from the business to the personal, right? And I would say then the only other thing is here in Canada, we have to make sure that we have proper legislative type practices. So sales tax and things like that. So it, know when you need to enter into that area. So in Canada at 30,000, if you earn 30,000 in a year, you have to have a GST number, period. Doesn't matter. As a business. Okay. As an employee, I can go out and earn all the money I want without one. But as a business, as a sole business owner, I have to at 30,000 in a year, then I'm required to have a GST or a sales tax registration number. So things like that. Know some of those little things because they'll catch you.
So I wonder, how do you start? Can you describe me a little bit the process when you get a new client? How do you start working with them? So like that, everybody has the picture.
Oh, first things I do is I give a free consult, right? We sit down, we get to know, and we make sure that we're a fit, right? And then it's, you know, and in that it's what kind of business do you have? What kind of business would you like to have? Because maybe you're just thinking about starting business. And then we just devise a plan on, yes, I can help you, or no, this person could help you better, right? So if it's not me, then I know where I would direct people. You know what I'm trying to say there?
Yes.
So yeah, so I always, and most that I know that do what I do will offer a free consultation no matter what, and then they go from there.
Yeah, I believe all of us, not only the type of entrepreneur that you are, also me, that I am more into the coaching and about emotional states.
Yeah.
We're not coaches for everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody's also for us. So we have to see if our energies match, and we're not going to be clashing, because that's not the point, because you cannot help someone that you're not going to feel compatible, or that person feel compatible with you.
Neither. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that part is very important. Mm-hmm. So you work with them, and I imagine with the dream that you just show us.
Yeah.
And then after that, what else you do if you accept them?
So we make a decision. So if it's just a sole proprietor or a sole entrepreneur starting out, I have Excel files that I help people track. You know, like I have templates that I use that way, or I'll bring them into a software system that will help them track. I personally use QuickBooks. Plug. But no, not really. But no, I personally use, I like to get people started in that, because what I find is not everybody has the time to sit down or the desire to sit down and plug numbers in on a spreadsheet, so they can take a picture on their phone and give the information. There's some automation that comes in. So I know some people kind of go, oh, AI and all that, but we embrace it. Technology came into our, it's the same. It's got that balance, the good and the bad. But boy, I tell you, if you've got 100 receipts sitting on your desk and you can just take a picture, it'll take you 10 minutes to get it in, as opposed to trying to key everything separately. So why not use the AI for those purposes, right?
Yes. And that's something that I need to learn. Because I do have the shoe box that became a huge box.
Yeah.
It's not even a shoe anymore.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
And so from that perspective, Maybe a client only needs help to get started in that. So you just give them a little bit of training. Maybe they don't want to do that side. So, there's a service that can be offered there. Maybe they just need their taxes filed. Okay, let's just do that then. It depends really on what is needed. But really, if you keep your account separate in front, right from this, as soon as you can keep your account separate, I think that is really critical because then it helps you organize it down the road, right? And so I'll have clients come to me, 10 years into their business and going, oh, I don't know why I'm not making any money. And it's, well, you probably haven't tracked it and you don't know what you're making or what it's costing you to make it.
A question that I was going to ask you because I heard you saying this to, I don't remember to who, and sit on and about creating a money goal and creating a money goal,
Yeah.
like to start tracking, okay, what do you want to do in the future, and then little comparable them. Can you speak more about that? Because
Creating your goals for your money?
yes, because I did notice a while back that I stopped doing it. I don't know why. I create my money goal and my monthly money goal at the beginning of the month. And I realized that actually I create more money that those months when I was doing that than when I stopped doing it.
Yeah, so like with everything that we do, right? So we have okay, so you want to reach 10,000 people. That's your big, hairy, audacious goal, right? Or I want to earn my first $100,000. Or, right? But we got to bite it down. So if we were going to do it over a year, okay? So let's say your goal is to earn $100,000 this year. Right? Well, okay. I know we're close to December, so okay. But let's say in the current year, right? So then you break it down. What does that break down to? It's actually just shy of 10,000 a month, right around 80. Don't make me do the math fast. right? So in that, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for me to make that $6,000 or $8,000 in a month? Right? How many one-on-ones? How many programs? How many offerings? How many new clients? Right? And you'll see when we start breaking it down like that and putting our money goal there, right? Our goals to our money. So let's say you have a job that you want to release. And you're earning $7,000 a month. Well, I need to replace that job. But do I have to replace 7,000 a month, or do I have to replace $7,000 net, which could be around, I'd say 55 to 6,000 per month, right? So we get the scales proper, like we get the I shouldn't say scales proper. We compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges. And then we set our goal. And so step one, day one, what do I need to do? Well, I probably have to network, or I probably have to sell or have three new clients or speak, do four speaking engagements, in a month. What's going to help you drive that and bring that money in? So setting the goal, I have never ever, when I set my money goal or I set my people goal, as I call it, or my new client goals, or I set my personal, I've never not reached it. Because there's about writing it down, putting it down. And I write with pen and then I'll put it to paper. I always write it down because for me, as soon as my pen goes to the paper, it goes into my subconscious. As soon as it goes into the subconscious, then we know that we're there, right?
I do agree. When I was getting my goal, it was when I write it down.
Yeah.
And in that form, I was even making more money that I would put it on paper. And when I stopped, that's when things shifted. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, when we shift. So I do that. I sit usually at the end of the month. So on the 31st or the 30th, I'll sit down and say, okay, for November, I'm going to do this. And more often than not, by week three, I've reached my goal and then I can surpass it.
Yes.
Right? This month, because we took a week almost, we took that time off. And I expect that my goals will be reached by week three, but the end of week three. Because we set them down. Right?
But something that is very particular on you that they can go to any business coach, whatever, everybody. But something that it is very particular in you, that you work with entrepreneurs that they're in the spiritual community, and you do Akashic readings. So you can clear even whatever problems it is in the Akashic for the business.
Right.
Because we got trained with the same teacher, and I know your capacity and you're magical in
Thank
so
you.
many ways. And so you work in that level also with your clients, right?
Yes, definitely. If the client is open and willing, that doesn't mean that I won't take a client that isn't heart-centered, but that's definitely where I prefer to work, because then I know that you're willing to work on your. Not only yourself, like your business needs that healing too, right? And without us, our business can't be. So I use the Akashic records. I also use runes. I do some pendulum work as well to help do healings and clearing. So you bring in everything that you've learned, right? Like we bring in all of those aspects of ourselves. When we're helping people to move forward.
That is very important for our viewers, that the majority are entrepreneurs, that they're in the spiritual community. So, and that is important to differentiate that if they go with a regular bookkeeper or if they work with someone that is coaching them into the spiritual community and in the business side.
You can go to any bookkeeper, and any bookkeeper will be in that institutional systematic realm of the 3D. And I like to blow those walls away and say, let's marry the two, because spirit has probably a higher role to play in how we conduct ourselves, how we do business, how we interact in the world. I think spirit has a much higher place than what the institutionalized structured systems allow for.
Yes. And I believe that that part is important with who you alienate yourself. Because sometimes it is very different than with which doctor and specialty you're going with. Not all the doctors can resolve all the problems. And the same applies for the bookkeepers. If I go with any bookkeeper, local bookkeeper, and tell them, oh, what I do, it's like, okay, why they tell me why you don't open a business of selling clothes? Because that's what it sells here. And it's like, because that's not what I do
Yeah.
for
But they
business.
might look at you and what you do and just focus on the works that you create, like the art that you create, rather than the way the art is created.
Yes.
Right? So
Yes,
that
and talking with someone that understand my own language is easier to comment, okay, why I'm paying a VA, a virtual assistant, why I'm paying a social media manager, why I'm paying this, and obviously in a regular store or regular restaurant or regular business, they're not going to need a social media marketer or a virtual assistant because their business is not even online.
Yeah.
It is in store.
Yeah, and some are, like some
Yes.
are, right? But I think that if we come at it from the same level, with the same energy, with the or similar, and I don't want to put them in a box, because I know that accountants and bookkeepers and those type of individuals are very well trained and very good at what they do. But it's about the bottom line and the numbers themselves. It's not about the heart and the soul
Yes.
and per se. And you might find that one diamond in the rough that's going to, embrace what you do and care about what you do. But even when I was working in industry, like working for people in their companies as the CFO or the, finance manager or something like that, even then, they didn't care that I cared. All as they wanted was the bottom line. And it just doesn't align in the same way
Yes.
as when you connect to the soul.
Carol, do you have a program right now or a package?
I am developing a program. Right now, I just offer one-on-one coaching, but the program I hope to have up and running by the end of November. So I would say, if anybody's interested, reach out to Monica. She'll know. Yeah, my program is in the works. So I do mainly one-on-one coaching at this point.
What is the best way to people can get a hold on you?
Through my email or my cell phone. So I would say, I would answer quickly if it was a text message to, should I give it? 780-932-5825. That's my cell phone. And
That's in Canada, guys.
yeah, in Canada. So it's a +1 780-932-5825. Or I can be reached at Carol at Fehu, Fehu dot ca. And Fehu is Fehu Universal Inc. That's the company that I have. So, yeah.
This has been so interesting, Carol, because this is going to open the perspective that everybody will need help. And taxes coming and so forth, and it's like, ah, oh, it is, the anxiety start rising.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to.
Exactly.
With a good
Exactly.
foundation, grow.
Exactly. And good administration and things like that, that we need to learn to be more organized and stop being such an artist.
No, be the artist
Yes.
and then ask for help.
Yes. And that is important because people forget that we can ask for help.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like a permanent commitment. It could be maybe just 3 hours of training to get you where you need to be. Not a big deal, right? Like, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Because like
Yes.
it could be just a little, it could be a lot, it could be just a quick conversation that says, hey,
So
and here we
yes,
are, right?
definitely I need to get a hold on you in that area because I don't know how to take a hold on my shoebox that is a big box now that I need to get organized. So like that, I can make my life easier and remove the stress out because I don't need to live with that stress when I have other things that I can be creating or
Yeah.
paintings or helping others. That's what my passion is at.
Yeah.
And like many of our viewers are in the same way like me. So we don't have to stress out, guys. We can ask for help. And like you see, there's always someone in the other side. It doesn't matter if it's in Canada, if you're in the United States or you're in Canada. Well, also you have it easier. And if you get a hold on Carol, please give her a big hug in Canada because she's an amazing human being. But yes, but asking help sometimes is the hardest part And it's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol. I really, really appreciate it. And to all our viewers, and if this was helpful for you, please share it with your friends. Recommend this podcast with your friends, because someone else might need to hear these words.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
And thank you.